The hardest part about VSLs is convincing people who have never ran VSLs that running a 40-minute ad direct on Facebook is a good idea. You literally, it's just like, guys, this no one's going to watch a 40-minute video on Facebook. Why would you ever watch the phone? Blah, 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 blah. And then they all fucking become believers.
We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet. Explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smarter Destiny podcast. So this time we're joined by my friend Peter Kell. He is in the house. Peter is the leader, the man in charge of the VSL department at Mind Valley, because he is one of the most dominant VSL marketers on the planet right now. He knows how to sell via video sales letters and a whole host more. He has spoken from stages. Notably, he was the keynote speaker at Affiliate World Dubai, and one of his little party pieces, one of the things that's always worth pulling out and mentioning, is that he drove revenue from a brand, a standing start of zero, all the way to 40 million in just 12 months before exiting and moving on to the next adventure. Peter's mission today, and indeed generally, is to help e-commerce marketers, affiliate marketers, digital people hit seven-figure months, multiple seven-figure months, not years, months. And that's what we're going to get into today on the show. And I think without further ado, let's welcome him in. Peter, how's it going, man?
What's up, guys? Great to be here. Thanks for having me. Super excited to help you. Helping you guys out and talking about how you can blow your life to the next level.
Oh, I'm excited to blow my life to the next level, and also to get into the weeds with VSLs and your passions as well, Peter. But let's start at the beginning. Whereabouts are you in the world right now?
I just got banned from Europe for 3 months, so I am in South Florida right now. Yeah, they took my passport away for a month, so I'm stuck in Florida.
Can we ask what naughty thing you did?
I overstayed. You can't overstay. I was working too hard on VSLs in Europe, and they kicked me out, and I overstayed my visa. So I can't. I got to wait 3 months so I can go back to Europe.
On behalf of Europe, I think, yeah, the UK is still part of Europe, just not the EU. On behalf of Europe, Peter, we apologize because they don't know what they've done. So anyway, sorry about that. All right. So that's where you are. Where we like to start things in this show is we like to go back. We like to go back to your origin story as an entrepreneur, really where things kicked off as an entrepreneur for you, what you were doing just before, and really kind of what that transition looked like, what that struggle and emotion looks like. If you have a time in mind, could you take us back to that time and paint?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I never thought I'd be living this life right now. I never thought that this stuff would be happening. You know, in high school, I was this like D student, dumb skateboarder who didn't go to college and didn't know what he wanted to do. And when they're like, hey, what do you want to do with your life? Oh, I want to go skateboard. So I worked at a skate shop. And eventually I just realized that, you know, if I stick with this path, and I was going down this path of being a shitty downhill skateboarder. And then I just realized that if I was going to go down this path, I'd be sleeping on floors for the rest of my life. And it's going to be never ending pain. So, you know, it all started when I quit skateboarding and I moved back into my parents' house. My parents moved to the buttfuck middle of nowhere in the woods in the mountains of Lake Arrowhead, California. And my girlfriend had just left me for some other dude. I was 45 minutes away from the closest bar with girls at the top of the mountain. I'd drive 45 minutes one way just to get down the hill. And I couldn't get a job there or I'd be stuck there forever. And I was forced make money on the internet so I could get the fuck out of this basement and live my life. That was the core start of this thing. And it didn't really kick off like that. It was like, you know, a couple months of just like, woe is me. This sucks. My life is shit. I'm just sitting in a parent. Don't see anybody. I have one friend who doesn't do heavy drugs, right? Because this place is fucking nowhere, nowhere land. And, you know, eventually my dad had this small online website design company. So I just started building WordPress sites for him. And then, you know, one day he was like a WSO junkie. So there's this thing called the Warrior Forum. It's basically where you can buy all these shitty, horrible, how to make money online programs. That he would buy all of them and he would just start telling me to go through them. And then one day he sent me to this program, and it was the worst program ever, but the sales page was incredible. And it was talking about how you could make money on the internet and drive Lamborghinis and fucking date Swedish girls in the island in the Caribbean. And I was like, oh, that's what I want to fucking do. I was like, this is it. Oh my God. So like the sales page, like ignited this dream inside of me of like, oh my God, you could be like this internet millionaire who like fucking makes money on a laptop and lives in the Caribbean. And that kicked it off. And through that level, I found Adderall and I found the library. I found books, like marketing books. And I didn't go to college. So I felt like the big missing piece in me of where I just didn't get any sort of information or education. So I figured out that with Adderall and these books, I could just read. And I was in the middle of the woods. So I had no distractions. And I was so, I felt so just my life like was being sucked away. Cause I felt like my 20s was being ruined. That's what I felt like. I was in this basement in my precious 21 and 22 year old life was being stabbed, right? Alone, wasted, lit on fire. And I just realized this is too big of a sacrifice for me to fucking make without having some sort of reward at the end. So I have to like fucking find a way to make this through. So and that's where it started. Yeah.
I love that. So you've got this real pain. You're at the top of the hill in the bottom of the house, miles away from civilization. You're filtering through all these courses that are being given to you. You found a way sort of almost accidentally by like falling in love with a sales letter, figuring it out, Adderall learning. And then you start practicing this stuff. You start getting into this stuff. Can you remember like what maybe one of your earlier successes? Like what did you get into and what did you ultimately sell?
That was 7 years. That was four. I went through 4 years of fucking hell on earth is what I went through after I started that. Right. So I started, you know, many, many businesses, mobile app development company. One of them, I did lead generation for rehab centers. So I had a hotline. I did radio ads and I found rehabs to like, I would have a hotline. They'd call it, are you on drugs? Call this hotline. And then if we get them into the rehabs would pay us. And that was almost a really good business model until my first client overdosed on heroin and died.
Selfish.
And then my client just literally disappeared off the earth, right? Like,
yeah, that's my
statement. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? And then, you know, so like stuff like that, right? So I mean, 4 years of evicted twice, car repossessed, you know, what? And in Las Vegas, I had this software company that I just ruined me. I bet it all. And it ruined me and it lost and I slipped off the rope and it was a fucking long way down. And I decided I wasn't going to move back into my parents' basement because I had moved to San Diego and I failed and I got evicted. I had to go back to my parents' basement. It was like landing on a cushion. But when I failed in Las Vegas, I was like, no more cushion. I'm going to fucking hit the pavement on my face. So I don't fuck this up again. And I learned this lesson. So man, I got wrecked. I had to put everything into a store and had to ask my friends if I could sleep on their floor. There was one, I had car repossessed. There was one day I had nothing but $20 left, a scooter, a laptop, and just a suitcase full of clothes. And I was living on my friend's floor with no job. And on that day, my scooter got stolen. So I just was like, just at the fucking, just destroyed by this whole thing. And that taught me something, right? And what that taught me was that the worst thing, the first biggest lesson that I learned was that the biggest mistake I could ever make is starting my own business. Because I am fucking god awful.
That's the theme we want to push on this show as well. Yeah, start your own business. Don't do it. 9 to 5, that's what you want.
That's what I learned. Yeah. Starting my own business was the absolute worst decision I could be making because I am just the worst entrepreneur ever. It's been 4 years, nothing has worked. And I cannot, if I'm going to make it, I made this realization that I had to become this supercar guy by age of 27. My dream was to like, you know, if I was to sacrifice my early 20s, it would so that my older 20s would be worth it, like 27, 20, 29. I'd be living in supercars and ripping around and being a millionaire and living that fucking dope life that I dreamed about as early 20s. And I realized that if I started the business, there's no way I'm ever going to make it there in time, right? Just no way. So I pivoted towards becoming an apprentice, having the idea of like, I should not start my own business. I should become an apprentice to a master. I should find somebody who's already living the life I want and sleep outside their fucking house until they let me in and teach me how they media buy, right? And back then, it was very clear to me that, you know, the skill set was media buying. The skill set was affiliate marketing, media buying. That's what you get good at. The hard part was you just needed a credit card to get good at this whole game, right? So I went on a journey to find mentors. And what changed my life and pivoted everything was when I found my mentors. And I was able to convince these guys. I found these guys who were living the sickest life you could ever imagine. And there was just two of them. And they fucking took me in under their wing. They gave me a credit card. They let me sleep on their house in LA. I flew to LA to live at their house. I flew to the other guy's house in Florida and they just taught me Facebook ads. And they taught me how to grind. And these guys were fucking just jacked me up to the next level. And the skill sets just exploded through the roof. And that's when everything fucking turned around, right about there.
So who were these guys? Can you tell us?
Yeah. So one of them is very famous. His name is Jason A. Guru on Instagram. He's notorious for, you know, Lambos and big titties in your face and mansions. And yeah, the other guy is super low key. He likes to stay underground, but he likes islands, living on islands, and he likes boats and yeah, much more total different styles.
Yeah, the best rad. Of both worlds there. You can really see like which course you want to go with when those ads start paying out. Okay, so you got into a bit of media buying. At what point did your love affair with VSLs get cracking? At what point did you sort of discover those and start using those? Was that with Facebook ads or did you move on by them?
So I'll just go. I started with Facebook with these guys, and 12 months later. We relocated to the Caribbean and I was balling out in the Caribbean like crazy. Everything just blew up. And then we got hit by a hurricane and that blew us to Florida and destroyed the whole island. And then we started pivoting to more e-commerce stuff because we were doing supplements back then. And Facebook was really cracking down on supplements. So we pivoted towards e-commerce. And e-com was when we started to get into VSLs. Because after some months, e-com was challenging because you had to learn how to write copy for these things. You had to learn actually how to sell these products. And there wasn't a lot of other people to model after of. And then when we started learning how to write advertorials, because we did a lot of advertorials back then, we learned how to write them for e-com products. And then one day we realized that if we just turned these advertorials into a video, it would convert better. And then all of a sudden, that was a VSL. So, and then we had a crazy, so I'll tell you the experience that sold me on VSLs forever. And this story, again, is almost 5 years old now. This is 5 years old since this happened. We had this campaign selling foot insoles. And we were doing, I had this day where I had spent $72,000 in a day on Facebook and I generated $70,000 in revenue in sales as an affiliate. So no expenses. It's literally just affiliate revenue, money in, money out. So I just lost $2,000 this day on a VSL selling foot insoles, but there's money flying around everywhere, right? It's flying around like crazy. And I'm just like, dude, if I could just boost the ROI on this campaign by like 5%, I would be raking it in, right? We'd be like making a Rolex a day, like super amazing stuff. And then I was like, who do I know that knows VSLs like super amazing? Oh my God, there's this guy named John Benson. He invented the VSL. I was studying this guy's stuff years ago. So I went on his Facebook page and I noticed he's like, oh, he's doing coaching. I'm like, oh my God, I should hire John Benson to have him look at this thing. So I hired John Benson. He looked at my script. And he just shat all over it. He's like, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. He didn't write anything. He just yelled at me, which is like how I fucking learn the best is when somebody just yells at me and calls me out on ways I can actually improve that are intelligent. And I fix all of his stuff and the campaign just explodes. It absolutely goes batshit crazy. And then we had this day, literally the next weekend, where we had spent $140,000 and we did $1,000 in sales on Facebook as an affiliate. So it was a 60K rip profit day. It was a monster campaign, right? It was the biggest campaign I had ever had by a landslide. And I was sold after that. I was like, I'm going to do VSLs forever. And I have done VSLs every single day for the past, since that happened. I have not stopped making VSLs until I sold my company. Then I didn't have any products to sell. So I went on like a 7 month hiatus. I didn't make VSLs, but that was it. So I've just been practicing ever since then. And it's gone from slideshow videos to world-class professional $15,000 shoots, to the jacked up production to the tits and super high authority figures like up. Yeah, it's crazy.
I love that. And that was going to be my question. Like nowadays, like how have VSLs changed from back then? And indeed the traffic sources, like the funnel coming into that VSL, Facebook's clamping down on things that they decide in their own discretion, they don't like, including their old name, their Meta now. what do VSLs look like nowadays? I mean, like, I'm in groups we're talking about, like, podcast VSLs, for example. Have you already evolved past that? I mean, like, what does a VSL look like nowadays compared to those sort of slidey, you know, PowerPoint presentation slide VSL days?
Yeah, well, I mean, VSLs have been around since a long time. You're either selling through text or you're selling through video, right? There's literally only two ways you could communicate with people on the internet. So how have they evolved? I mean, I can tell you how I've evolved. I haven't really been paying attention to with the other guys. I mean, because I just focus on how the world-class guys are doing it. Now, the world-class guys have broken it down into three chunks, right? Because I just focus on who is at the top of the game and what are they doing, right? And they figured out that it takes three things to crush VSLs on Facebook. It takes hooks, which is the first 7 seconds. It takes a lead, which is the first 30 to 2 minutes. And a lead is, the point of the lead is designed to inspire someone to watch the full video. And then it takes the full VSL, which is having a rock solid VSL. And then I guess you could add the close in there because the close is super important to help with AOV. But those are the three kind of chunks, and you can't evolve around those chunks. You need to hook people in to suck as many people to watch the VSL as possible. You need the first big idea, which is why they need to watch the whole thing right now. And then you need the second big idea, which is the root solution to their problem and how you can fix it right now. And then a close is kicking their butt to get in the door.
And so in terms of the evolution, I guess what I'm talking about is, like, so you're not running these VSLs as a video ad on Facebook, right? It's taking them from, you are?
Yes.
Still?
Yes.
Okay. Okay,
so listen, the hardest part about VSLs is convincing people who have never ran VSLs that running a 40-minute ad direct on Facebook is a good idea. You literally, it's just like, guys, this no one's going to watch a 40-minute video on Facebook. Why would you ever watch the photo? Blah, 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 blah. And then they all fucking become believers. That happens all the time. That's my biggest challenge. I go to a new place and I'm like, guys, okay, first off, fuck your targeting. Okay, fuck all the targeting. We're going broad. Oh, we should target based on interest and blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. We're going broad. Okay, the pixel is smarter than you are. Okay, second, we're going to do the whole video on Facebook. Well, we should break it down. No one's going to watch. Shut the fuck up. They have nothing to do. They're on Facebook. They want a long thing. Facebook sucks. It works. Don't ask me why it works. If the demographic is over 40, they have nothing to do. Literally, they will watch the whole goddamn thing. I tested an hour and 20-minute VSL direct on Facebook just last month.
And what
it didn't perform as good as the 40-minute VSL, but I'm testing super hardcore lengths on these things, right? Adding chunks, adding scenes, adding, like, oh, should we add the part where we add a bunch of value and go through, like, a bunch of tips? What about putting a meditation in the VSL? What the fuck will happen with that? I don't know. Let's try it out. What do we do? Like, let's put these scenes in this different order, right? It's a very lot of, like, testing. It's basically split testing documentaries. Yeah.
All right. So let's, I mean, you've already blown my mind naturally. And then, indirectly, all the audience, all the people that, you know, you've just convinced, like, thousands and thousands of people just there and then. Right. So that's good.
I haven't convinced them. It takes a while for them to be convinced, but I've just tickled them for the first time. Yeah.
You've tickled
it takes
them.
A while for them to see the light. Like, it really takes a long time. People are like, oh my God, this is actually a thing. But it's just, you know, it's just, you got to throw a little bit of holy water at them at a time. Just a little, a couple of sprinkles. Yeah.
All right. So you're split testing like modules. So you've got the hooks, you've got the leads, you've got the body, you've got the close. How do you go about, like, getting organized or the creation process of a VSL? Or is there a better way that I should be asking that question?
How do you make a VSL?
Go on then. Let's do that one.
Right. How do you make a VSL? Right. So formulas are the things that matter. Formulas. So when you back up, right, when I say this video is 40 minutes long, whoa, that's fucking long, a pile of fucking content. It's like a 40-page script here, right? It's a lot. But when you back up 30,000 perspective and you chunk it into scene by scene by scene, this first 2 minutes is about this. This is about introducing the author. This is about teasing the big idea. This is about the root solution. This is about this. There's, like, textbook copywriting things that need to be put into a VSL. no matter what you're really doing. I mean, copywriting really falls into a few like chunks, ingredients, like baking a cake. You just doesn't matter how you fucking order it, right? It's the author's story is one example. The root cause of your problem, the root, how the solution fixes the root cause of your problem. Then you have like the pain you're going through, the emotional pain they're going through, and then the benefits. It's basically like someone is in a shitty place in their life. They don't know how to get out. They see a light in the tunnel. That's all the pain that the prospect's going through. You have to understand that. And they see a light in the tunnel, and that's the root problem. You help reveal to them, hey, the real reason behind your brain not working is fucking whatever. Nerves aren't firing. You have a diminishing part of this little piece or whatever that's struggling with your focus. And then the solution is, oh, if you add these ingredients, it'll activate the pieces that make you focus really good. Or if you do this sort of my training, okay, I understand. That's a light in the tunnel for me. That can make me up there. Oh, and where will it take me? It'll take me to this amazing life, which is dope. And it's cool. That's literally every product. Every product falls into like a simple little sales formula. And when you have the pieces, then the rest of it is just putting it in, knowing what formulas and what ways to put it into. You know, like if you like watch a Disney movie, for example, you can see just all the Disney movies. If you watch 20 Disney movies and you took the scripts to all of them and you broke down scene by scene, you would literally see the pattern behind how every Disney movie is made. And you would just be, oh, it's just literally just reorganized, chunk different things, different ways. So the first step for me is just researching what type of gold do I have here? Cause I work with like famous authors now and famous people who already have great stories. So I'm like doing the research and putting together the pieces. Okay. What's the problem? Like what's the one most important problem? Not like what's 15 fucking problems they're going through. What is the one core problem? Is it lower back pain? That's it. People 10 benefits. You just, that's it. Boom. There's other things like inflammation, you can't walk and do that. Those are like secondary problems, but one laser focus problem that they're solving, nail it down to one thing. And then you just have all these pieces. And then by studying successful VSLs in the past and breaking them down, you can see the formulas that have worked and then how your pieces can be put into these formulas. And then you just kind of glue it together.
Amazing. That's simple, simple. And then, right now, and then right off to the sunset, you know,
it's
what about the visual? I mean, there's a lot of pieces and certainly like the hero's journey and like, you know, every Pixar movie and everything like that's a, a familiar story. And, you know,
people
and,
love to be sold that way.
And what about the visual component to VSLs? Like once upon a time, it was just slides. It was like the words on the screen. Like, and I know now you're doing like full on like movie production sort of level VSL because you said it.
Yeah.
What's the sort of happy medium that works? Like what visually are you looking for? Does it not matter because the words are powerful enough or like, what are you trying to distill visually to keep them interested?
Right. So it's really easy too. That's a really easy one, thankfully. And I'll just tell you how I learned how to do this because I didn't. I went from slideshows to doing my first actual video shoot with a dermatologist in Miami. I'm like, what am I doing? I've never even done a video shoot in my whole life, right? So I was spying on my competitors, like always. And what I was watching their VSLs, and I was like, okay, you know, what are all the scenes that I want? I've been watching that. And I'm like, oh my god, I can just literally screenshot every single scene that he has and put it into a storyboard, like. So I just would watch their VSL and screenshot everything that looked cool. And then I'm like, oh, this is every single piece that I want in my video. And then when I did that, it literally turned out to be only four different things. There's four different things. Thank the Lord. There's four different things you can even put in the video stuff, right? It's one, it's the dermatologist just talking like a talking head. It's your authority figure talking, telling the story into the camera. That's the easy one. That's when they just talk. And then the rest of it is just B-roll that goes on top of that, right? To keep it engaging. So B-roll is just three things. It's one, I noticed that like, okay, this person has like a dermatologist walking around a corner with a clipboard. Okay, I need to have you walking around the corner with a clipboard. And I'm just like watching their VSLs and taking notes on all the B-roll I need to get. Okay, I need to have an actress coming in. They had an actress, I'm gonna get an actress. They do that, I'm gonna get that. So I'm like just modeling all these ideas and I would just screenshot it and put it into this like massive shot list. Here's all the shots I wanna get with my dermatologist, right? And it's just like, yeah, it was just like, there we go. So and I ended up getting a bunch of stuff. And then the other two things are just your customers. The two experience, or I guess there's three things. Your customers. It's this their sad moment of them looking at the mirror and looking at their problem, which in my case was wrinkles. So the capture B-roll of them just not liking their what's going on in their life. And then taking the product. Oh, I have the product now. And then, oh, now I look amazing. Now I'm happy, right? It's sad, product, happy, right? It's, those are the three things, right? It's B-roll. It's somebody sad. Somebody gets the product. They use it and they're happy. And then I guess you just have some B-roll of the product too. And then world class level right there. So that was like literally, I don't think you can get higher than that. It's like every single piece of just shooting and just those simple little pieces. And you don't have to come up with it. You can literally just look at VSLs and screenshot.
Yeah, well, so,
your to-do list.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, you know, you are it's paint by numbers. It's like it's what you're describing here, and it's amazing. So whereabouts nowadays are people's competitors running VSLs? Which is the sort of lead into the question of where do we find the VSLs that are currently out there to be able
right.
to
model? Right. So the best places to find them are AdSpy. So you got to be studying, right? So everybody always asks me like, what books do you read? Like, honestly, I haven't read a copywriting book in a while. I did a little copywriting training, but you know what I do read is I read VSLs for breakfast, right? That's my copywriting training is the biggest VSLs on ClickBank, right? I go through that and I break those down scene by scene by scene. And I read the whole thing and that puts fresh copy in my brain of like rock solid copy that's working, right? Because I don't know how fucking big a campaigns any one of these authors have ever written. I have no clue. But I know this campaign right here is massive, right? And they're using these words. So this must be some pretty powerful words. So spying, you have to have an edge in spying. AdSpy for Facebook, VidTal for YouTube, AdBeat for GDN and stuff like that. And those are some solid platforms to be able to spy and learn. But it's an art form. You know what I mean? It's an art. It's like learning to paint, right? You know, like it takes a second. It takes time. You know, I've done this every day and it's still like, where's my mindset at? That's the most important piece before I even start. Where's my mindset at? Am I just making this VSL because I've been punched in the face 100 times? And I'm like, oh, okay, got to get back to work today. You got to persist, got to keep going. Or am I like, I fucking live for this shit. Let's make the sickest VSL of all time. We're going to make twice as much money as we ever made in our whole life. That's what we're focused on. So mindset first and then studying the things. And I guess, I don't know, I'm kind of off on a track there, but spy tools are what you study.
I'm a big fan of you getting off track. So let's get back to you then, Peter. And there's a ton of gold there for everybody listening. In terms of you, what lights you up nowadays? Like you've done a bazillion VSLs in the past. You know you can do it with absolutely anything. What's your filtering process look like? What do you want to do now?
Well, it's very simple for me. I am just, you know, I've been doing this for a long time and I'm very sick and tired of not being the biggest advertiser on the planet. So that's what lights me up, right? I've got campaigns of the yin yang. And also I like selling amazing stuff. So I got linked up with Mindvalley. And this is a company that, you know, I took these programs when I was first getting started. They have the best, most world-class products on the planet. So now I'm selling stuff that I'm really, if someone signs up to Mindvalley, I'm fucking doing good to this planet, right? So first off, I'm getting, my product is dope as fuck. And I'm getting in the hands of people who need it, and it will actually transform and make a huge contribution. And so there's a lot of like, you know, give back value there, right? And on top of that, I'm also sick of not being the biggest advertiser on the planet. So I've got, you know, I like the whole idea of having a 4-minute mile. I've always liked the idea of winning an Olympic gold medal, but I'm not like an athlete or anything, so I can't actually do that. So I was kind of like frustrated that like those motherfuckers got to do stuff like that, and I'm like in this space that doesn't have awards or whatever. Like we don't have like, you know, any recognition symbols or anything. So I'm like, okay, what would be like the 4-minute mile of this place? Oh, like doing $1 million a day would be pretty sick. Been pretty close to that. Haven't crushed it. I think that's the 4-minute mile in our industry is doing $1 million a day on your own brand. I think that's pretty goddamn clutch.
So I actually interviewed a guy on the podcast. He's done a million in a day. Jason Howard. He's been on the show, and we broke it down. We actually did a recording
without a launch. By the way, launches
so,
don't count.
So this was on Black Friday. So there is a little bit there, and I know
without Black Friday, Friday, without a launch, just on a fucking Monday, a regular Monday.
maybe in the middle of the month where everyone's out of money.
That's my level. That's my level. Yeah.
That's your level.
But no hate. No hate. Still very amazing to do that stuff. Yeah.
Jason, I'll give you Peter's email address after the call. It's okay. You can duke it out between the two of you. No, I'm kidding. So, I mean, so that's really cool. So you've still got that that carrot. You've still got that yardstick. You've still got that thing you're aiming for. Because I was going to ask, you said, like, I want to be the biggest advertiser on the planet. I mean, like, are those numbers even public? Like, you know, how do you know what an advertiser is spending? But that's really, really cool.
Yeah, you go on AdBee and you can just see the biggest advertiser. Like VShred was the biggest in December. They had the biggest campaign in December. It's pretty clear who the big guys are. Yeah, you can't really hide it.
Nice. So what traffic sources excite you nowadays in terms of with e-commerce, selling e-commerce products?
Mm-hmm. So three main ones. Facebook, obviously. YouTube is the king of the internet right now. It is the hardest traffic source to crack because that pixel needs like, I don't know, 100, 200 fires to actually start optimizing. And to get that is pain for a long time, months. I've given up three times on YouTube and then ended up becoming one of the sickest sources ever after one of my media buyers just said, fuck you, I'm just going to figure it out. And he just kept it up and he cracked it. And then obviously TikTok is phenomenal. If you're not spending over $3,000 a day, then I think TikTok is all you need for most stuff. I mean, even for my skincare brand, it was like, oh, we're targeting women over 40. They're not on TikTok. It's all younger people. But amazing traffic source, right? Crushed it. All women over 40. So if anyone who's like TikTok's younger demo, they don't understand. They're not advertising. They're talking out of their ass. They're talking about shit they don't understand or have no experience with. So just, it's a great demo for, especially for older people. It's great. You just can't scale past. I mean, I know guys that have been, I think max $30,000 a day is VShred. And that's the biggest campaign in the world. Guys who are able to spend 300, 400 grand a day on the other two sources, maybe they could spend 30K a day on that. But we never really got past spending, I think, $8,000 a day on our skincare brand. And so it's very limiting. But if that's not limiting to you, if that's a whole shitload, right? If you're spending I've read like totally different levels, right? But focusing on, you know, the guys who are like, just want to spend $1,000 a day, TikTok's great. Great margins. The pixel actually works. Everything's really cool on TikTok. Yeah. But obviously the biggest stuff is Facebook and YouTube. Facebook is the best for split testing VSLs because you can move super fast. And then anything that works out, you can kind of roll out to YouTube.
That's a really cool method to like split test out with using Facebook, and you get a lot of data on the views, and it's really, really quick.
You get it fast, yeah.
So what about TikTok? I mean, TikTok I agree. I remember, I'm old enough to remember people saying that about Facebook, right? Like, there's no old people on Facebook. You can't reach whatever, you know, and then sure enough, you can. Now, people are saying that about TikTok, internet repeats itself, history of the internet repeats itself. But TikTok, one thing is, I mean, those ad lengths aren't very long, right? You're not going to be able to run a 40-minute VSL on TikTok. So what was, like, how have you approached that? Like, how do you tackle that?
When you do short, like Instagram stories, for example, you can't do you can do a 40-minute VSL, but then we have a thing called a replay page, right? So the next step is the lead is like 2-minute video instead of going, so you usually go, the biggest mistake you can make about your wrinkles is not understanding where they come from. We put together a free presentation. It starts it out. Check it out. Boom. And then it starts on YouTube. But if you're doing a VSL on a landing page, you go, the biggest mistake you can make about wrinkles is not understanding where it comes from. So we made a free presentation. Click the link to come check it out. It starts over here. So they click it and then they have the full VSL on another website. And then the VSL plays there. And then there's a pop-up timer that shows up later. And yeah, that's how you would do it on TikTok.
Beautiful. Really, really.
Same thing with native. Native is like, you know, but they read it usually like a text pre-sell letter, and then they click the VSLs on the page.
So why is that? Is that the transition? Because native is being typically, the ads are being typically displayed on content heavy word based pages, and then it's over, or like why is that?
Say that again.
So why is it that native, there's that sort of in-between page where it's before the VSL and after? Is that because the pages the ads are on are heavily text-based and it's transitioning, or is it a different
You have to sell somebody to watch this thing. So there's two big ideas of VSLs. Is one, the first one is, why should you watch it? Second one is, why should you buy this? essentially, or how, like, what is the root cause of your problem, right? So the first page is like pre-selling somebody on why they should watch this video, which is why a lot of native guys do it. But, you know, I don't focus very much on native. It's interesting, but, you know, we went 0 to 40 million. We didn't touch native. You don't need native. You don't need to do a lot of things to do mock numbers. You just need one video that works really well, you know? So I don't really focus too much on native. It's interesting, right? But it's not the reason why you're not getting to mock. It's never the reason why you're not fucking at mock speed.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. Yeah.
So in your blog, one of the things you mention is VSLs with celebrities. And I believe you've done a few. You certainly studied thousands. Why is it important for a brand to, or why is it beneficial for a brand to find a celebrity to work with and then incorporate that into VSLs and anywhere else in the brand?
Yeah, so the core fundamental idea here is authority, right? Coming from Robert Cialdini's book, Influence, Authority. Why is this person worth listening to? You got to think about that when it comes to your VSL and who's delivering the message. It's a very key, important part. And now this can be heavily manipulated, right? So like I could just literally call my dog a beauty expert, right? She's a beauty expert or whatever. Like anybody could literally just be a beauty researcher, right? If you just call them, they don't have to be a dermatologist if you want to talk about this stuff. So, but some sort of authority level really helps, right? And an authority, like for example, for skincare, an authority figure doesn't have to just be a dermatologist. It can be a celebrity, right? A celebrity who has to go on camera and has to look their best and had to figure out how to look fucking beautiful, even after, you know, working super long days. So a forced expert is a good example. Now, a celebrity has that kind of influence and they also very well done. So a lot of brands have been able to achieve these amazing things. Like Randy Jackson, for example, he's got this amazing gut health product with Golden Hippo. And he's not a doctor. He's not any of that stuff. He's just like, he's a regular guy who a lot of people knew. So he had this extra little bit of bump and lost a bunch of weight figuring out his gut health thing. And a company worked with him to put a gut health offer out. So that's the fundamental thing. And, you know, VSLs are tough. Like, for example, CPMs are rising. A lot of people say CPMs are rising. Everybody says this. CPMs are rising. But you know what else is fucking rising? My skill set. That's what's rising. My skill set's going up faster than the fucking CPMs are going up, right? So I don't give a shit about these goddamn CPMs. But to me, to beat the CPMs, that means better VSLs, higher production, better authority figure, which is the point about the celebrities, a little bit of leverage, and better copy. I mean, those are the core, better product. So just making things better and better as you upgrade.
What's the leverage in that example, or what might leverage be?
What do you mean leverage?
You said better authority, better leverage. You said it.
I don't think I said better authority figure. Better copy, better production. I think that's what I said, production.
Production. Okay.
Cool. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that's how, is that still tapping into the authority? It's like a more glamorous, more professional looking video. So it's more trustworthy. Is that the why behind that?
I mean, all I do is super professional stuff outside of leads. Leads are really good to have on camera, but regular handheld videos still work incredibly well. It's a totally different style. It's a totally different, because my whole Mind Valley thing, everything's professional. So it's all just based around how the brand looks super professional, but you don't need to be super professional. So lower quality could also be a way to make it better, right? Honestly, like just doing it low quality and having a good script to follow. But yeah, authority is just a key part of it. And if you look at the biggest campaigns on the planet, like Proactive, for example, they were just jam-packed with all these authority figures.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So we've got a ton of brands listening, brand founders listening, and mm-hmm. they are probably dependent on Facebook and hurting as a result of it. With the sort of most recent 12 months, gone more the more traditional e-commerce route, shall we say, the sort of Facebook ad to a product page, maybe Facebook page to an advertorial to a product page, that sort of journey. What would you, and they're, shall we say, VSL curious, what would you say to them or advise them in terms of getting started or at least beginning to get off the addictive teat of Meta or, you know, Facebook ads?
Right. So, I mean, listen, my life revolves around the campaign. And I think if you're an advertiser, everybody's life revolves around your campaign. You put in money and you get an ROI back. What the product is just a mystery box. Everyone does it with their own product. At the end of the day, you got to put in money to an ad platform to get money back. If not, you're doing organic growth and good luck with that, right? It's not for me, right? So everything revolves around that. And everything revolves around what's the biggest campaign you've ever had. How do you make it bigger, right? So my motto is literally how to double your high score. If the most amount you made in a day is $1,000, then you should be focusing on how to get to $2,000 a day. If the most you made is $10,000, you should be focusing on how to get to $20,000, because it's very doable and achievable, because all you have to do is double your ad spend tomorrow. And if the ROI stays the same, you're there, right? It works. You can put in $1,000 to get $2,000. If it's there, you make the money. You can put in $100,000 to get $200,000. If it's there, you make the money. The guys who do $1 million a day, they put in $400,000, they get $1 million back. Like, that's what it looks like. It's what it looks like. So it literally is just, how do I get an ROI at a campaign at mock scale? And a lot of the guys who never achieve the mock scale, this is why I bring this up, because they're just not focused on, they want to make $1 million a month, but they never really think about like that. Oh, you have to make, you know, whatever, $30,000 a day. How do I do it today? How do I get $30,000 a day? Oh, I need to spend $15,000 a day and do $30,000 of revenue. Like, that's the situation I have to create. I have to create that. And I have to up there only, you just, there's only a video. Only thing you can do is upload a video to YouTube, right? So it's like, you upload a video, you run the ad, and it works or it doesn't work. So, I mean, pretty long time ago, it was pretty obvious that creative was the key to transforming my life. Right. It was like, just a good video is what's going to do it. And then there you go. And then now you're in there is no other way. There's no other way but you making a video that is the most gangster video ever for your product on planet Earth. The sickest video ever. And this is you can't fuck with this road. Like, you go influencers, right? I don't like to do that. It's out of my control. This is so in your control. You put $1,000 down, you upload a video. Did it work or not? It is so in control. The entire process is in your control. You make a video. And whether or not you did it, if it doesn't work, it's because your video sucked. That's it. End of story. People blame it on the ads. They blame it on the CPM. They blame it on the targeting. They blame blah, 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 blah. Your video fucking sucks balls, right? The best videos work at 40 plus broad US and beyond, right? It didn't work because your video sucks balls. Slap them in the face. That is the truth every time. And that's like, there's other things, right? But I never recognize those things. It's always my fault when it doesn't work. And it's because your video sucks is the final thing. So it's going down this journey of how do I make a dope video? And I'll tell you what, when you get to video number 40, that's when your life takes off.
So don't be setting out to be like, I'm going to crack it first time around. Oh, it didn't work. I'm done.
40. I just had a massive campaign explode, and it took me 32 variations to crack it. 32. Usually it takes me 40, but after years of experience, I've gotten it down to 32.
And do you launch those right up, or is it like straight up, are you putting in all the different variations, or have you, as that been over like 2 months to crack it?
Here's the fastest way. The fastest way is to make the best video you could imagine, upload it, and as soon as you upload it, just assume it failed. Assume it failed, and then you have to figure out why it failed. All right. Right. So there's metrics to look at. And then I just go straight into the thing. Like, okay, but usually when I'm making a VSL, I start to see ideas, right? If you look at formulas, you're like, oh, I have testimonials here. Or I want to lead with the author story. Or what if I leave with like the unique mechanism, the problem story? There's like a ton of different ideas. And I get that new people might not be able to see these ideas right off the bat, which is why it's so important to study your competitors is and their VSLs and break down their scripts and transcribe them in rev.com and break all that stuff down. I lost my train of thought. Where was I? What happened?
Well, what metrics? You were launching your right, next thing, metrics. Assuming the first one failed. And what metrics are you most concerned with VSLs, particularly in the early stage?
Step one is sucking people in the door, right? Doesn't matter how good your VSL is. If they're not paying attention after the first 10 seconds, doesn't matter. So cost per 3 second view is 10 cents. That's what we aim for. I think average stay time after 60 seconds is 10% on Facebook. If you can get 10%, that's really good. That means you have a really good lead. And that means you're sucking people in super well. Just cost per 3 second view, that's the first piece of it. And then average watch time is the next piece of it. Your average watch time of a video is under 30 minutes, needs to be around 40 seconds. If your video is between, you can have videos between 7 and 8 minutes. I've had the big Foot and Soul campaign. That was about an 8 minute video, if not seven, I think 7 minute, 30 second. And, but that was still around, I want to say 40 seconds. Average watch time. It was a really good introduction. Really sucked people into a story very quickly. And if you have a really high average watch time, which means people are loving your story, they're loving the introduction of the video, and your hook is working, your cost per 3 second view is really low. So a ton of people are getting sucked in, a ton of people are watching, and not a lot of people are buying. That's usually a problem of the unique mechanism. So that usually means everybody is loving what's here, but they just don't think it's going to work. That's the core issue there. And what I found from there. So pivoting the understanding the unique problem better, understanding the changing out of products is a good way to go. A lot of people just think this product ain't going to work for me. You know, so for example, like if someone has back pain and I'm like really hooking them in with a great back pain story that really relates with them. And then I use like, oh, try laying down on this acupuncture fucking mat where you just lay on this mat. It's like, fuck you. That's never going to work. You know, like they're like sucked in and they're like, damn, that's not going to work. Right. So that's why that wouldn't work in a lot of cases.
I think this is amazing. Peter, I could definitely drill into this even more. But at this stage, obviously, we've got the second part of the podcast, the question round. At this stage, I'd like to ask you, where can people find out more about you, get in touch, buy your stuff? Like, where can they do that?
I wish I had stuff for them to buy. So I do, I'm a hardcore bit of VSLs, right? I'm deep down the rabbit hole. I'm not for hire. I'm committed to Mindvalley. This is my favorite company on the planet. I'm committed to blowing them up. So you could follow me on Instagram. I post about VSL stuff all the time at Zippy101. That's the place to follow me. But I don't have any course. I wish I had a course. That would be great. I could just have money coming in. But I just am so committed to doing this whole thing. And yep, don't have any courses.
Beautiful. What about peterkell.com? Is that still a resource people should check out?
Yeah, peterkell.com. Yeah, you can read cool blog stuff there. Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of crazy ayahuasca stories and some marketing stories in there.
Love that. All right. So at this point in the show, Peter, we like to mix it up. We go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can choose the speed that you respond. Are you up for that?
Let's do it.
You two thumbs up? Up for that?
Yep.
Boom. Send it. All right. Question one. If you ever had to start again, how would you make your money?
I would go find a mentor. Start again and I had no brains.
Sure.
I would go find a mentor. I would go become a media buyer and an affiliate network, which is what I did. And that's what transformed my life.
Amazing. What's the most common or biggest mistake leaders make?
Not being a gangster ass fucking dominant leader who just leads the way for the team and takes everybody to the promised land. And is like, just puts his foot down and is a hard ass, but also is helpful and cares about, you know, that's kind of a thing. And not just being the best version of themselves, not actually being a dope leader that is worthy of being followed.
Nice. Who is a great leader, whether alive or dead, and why?
Who is a great leader? That's a good question. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. I mean, Michael is a perfect example of me who thinks a great leader is. Just one of the most dominant guys ever, crushes the game. Tells everybody to level the fuck up. We're going to win no matter what. You got to be fucking on the field. And he's got a similar style to Steve Jobs. I mean, just Steve Jobs will rip people up the yin yang because he cares so much about getting to where we need to go. And he's a world-class master at what he does. So, yeah.
How do you hire top talent?
By being top talent. You gotta be worth following, or you gotta have people who leave, it's usually because they hit a ceiling and they feel like they're getting squeezed and they wanna leave, go find another place. I usually go just off my Instagram, people who follow me, I can just do a post if I'm hiring and I'll have, you know, between 20 and 40 people reaching out to me to become a media buyer. That's key. And then A players, always focus. The difference between a C player and an A player media buyer is millions of dollars. it's such a big deal. It's so important to get someone who really cares, because they'll find that the little cracks, the little ROIs, they're going to explode. The C players won't ever have, and you'll just be losing money with C players all day long. So fire fast.
So what's the difference in your view between an A-class media buyer and a C1?
It's always the mindset, right? It's always the mindset. Ambition isn't enough. I thought it was enough. I thought I could just find somebody who was super driven and hustling, but they have to have done a lot of work on their own before they even showed up to the party at our party. Mm-hmm. So if you've done a lot of work and maybe you're like a native media buyer who is just in a shitty position and you want to pivot, then that's the person who, and they're really passionate about going to the next level. Those are really good guys who can be great on Facebook, for example.
And how do you motivate your media buyers, or incentivize would be a better word?
Previously, it was profit share. So they would do a percentage of profits. Now, there's a problem if you're building a media buying team house and you don't do team share of profits. That's going to cause a lot of issues between media buyers that will start. They'll start keeping secrets. They won't talk to each other. And it creates the atmosphere if you don't do a team profit share. But now it's based on recognition. So at Mindvalley, for example, there is no profit share there. So it's all about just, we're selling the dopest products in the world. It's about selling the dopest products in the world and getting these world-class products out to the hands of so many people. It's a totally different vibe.
Love that. What's one of your proudest moments?
I mean, I was never a good speaker, and then I hired a speaking coach and became a great speaker. And that was the gnarliest, most painful thing ever, is failing it publicly at speaking. And I had failed so many times and froze so many times on stage that when I finally got this speaker and I was finally able to fix this internal issue, that was super, super, super big. I'm in a highlight reel right now. Just being with Mindvalley is probably the proudest. I don't know. My whole life I've been wanting to sell the greatest products on the planet and doing it at the highest level you could possibly do it. So definitely being, you know, leading this team is super proud of that.
What's one interesting fact about you that not many people would know?
Well, I got divorced yesterday. I just got banned from Europe last week for 3 months. But what's an interesting fact? I hold the world record for fastest guy ever to go on a downhill skateboard. I held onto a car when I was in high school because I wanted to break a world record when I was leaving high school. So I just held onto the back of my friend's truck. We went 95 miles an hour. I was standing on a longboard and we filmed it, and it's on YouTube. So you can just Google Peter Kell, 95 miles an hour longboard.
And it's an actual world record as well.
No, because I did it on a toll road illegally when no cars were driving on it. So they wouldn't let me do this. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. Right. So it's an unofficial one, but I've never seen anybody go faster. So I'm okay with it. I'm happy with it.
What daily routines do you have, whether morning or evening, that have helped make you more successful?
Yeah. So, I mean, we could finish off with, I start the day focusing on what I love. So here's actually, I have it all tattooed on my arm. So I have my values tattooed on my arm, and it starts with love, which I focus on things that I love. So start out with gratitude list. Your vibration is everything. I'm such a spiritual manifesting person. You wouldn't believe it, right? All of this talk pales in significance to understanding how to manifest shit into your life and let the universe bring synchronicities together. That is a bazillion times more powerful than anything about VS we could ever talk about, right? So understanding how to do that, manifesting, law of attraction stuff, I'm so into that, you wouldn't believe. And then training your mind, training your body, so I lead stuff, and then diving into work and just going super hard and crushing it. I mean, when you have the biggest opportunity you've ever had in your whole life, then you got to pay attention to that. And I turn my balance bar off. So I take the parties off and I take the social life off and I go level up super hardcore work time. And that's usually every time that I've had breakthroughs and things have exploded, then that's what happens. And then you start, and then you balance back out once you've gotten the ship to this incredible level.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So I know you said you don't really read books, you read VSLs, but you have mentioned a couple of books in the thing.
Oh, like I read Giardini's. Books. Yeah.
What book or books changed your mindset or life?
Yeah. So I'm reading Relentless right now, which is about mental domination, basically from the trainer who did Michael Jordan. But my top three books are, I can tell you, first one is the book I ever read. I mean, I read Think and Grow Rich, which was phenomenal. Psycho-Cybernetics, which is all phenomenal, all about your identity and how your identity creates your entire reality, right? Super deep in all subconscious related books. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I had to read that because I didn't have rich parents. So I had all these limiting things around money in my life. So that reprogrammed my brain around money. And Tony Robbins, I'm a huge Tony Robbins fan. So I've been going through Awaken the Giant Within, did all his programs that really helped light up. And it turned me from a D skateboarder who wasn't going anywhere to a D skateboarder who was going somewhere with his life. That's what Tony Robbins did, right? That was huge. But the last book I ever read before my life took off is Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh was the last book I read at the lowest point of my life before my life took off. The second that I closed that book, my life began taking the fuck off.
And you credit the book? It wasn't.
Was the last one. And it was the most phenomenal book about how, you know, your thoughts are creating your own reality. And it's this incredible story about this old man who just broke his neck and he's been broke his whole life and he's sick and his girlfriend left him or whatever. And he's so pissed off. He just yells at the sky, like, what the fuck is this about, God? Like, why is life always going to be a struggle? Am I ever going to make money? Is this ever going to work out for me? And then he just like hears this voice in his head and he just like writes it down. And he's like, really want to know the answer? And he's like, yeah, what the fuck is this about? And this book is written in 4 days. And it's just this conversation with this old man yelling at God and they're talking to each other. And it was the most phenomenal thing ever. And it related to me so much. And that totally changed my life. I have conversations with God all the time. I go out and be like, what's up? What's the plan? What are we doing here? What's going on? You know, I'm super like connected now, even though I wasn't before. Just going through all these books, I read hundreds of books and just seeing all these world-class guys talk about some other force, some other thing, some background behind the curtain shit that's going on under the scenes. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe something's going on. And then I find in my own life that I see these things. And now I have the words God's plan tattooed on my fucking forearm. So it's about my plan. If I could think about the best life I could ever create, a 10 out of 10 life, God's plan is cooler than that. It's 11 out of 10. It's better than I can imagine. The problem with coming up with the best life you can imagine is that you're limited by your own imagination, right? There's something even cooler than that you can't even fucking realize. Your brain's not big enough to realize how much cooler it could actually be. And I used to think the God's plan thing was just like having a shitty life. I thought he was going to make me like a church boy fucking at the front door, just like saying hi to people my whole life. And it was just a waste of a life. That was the wrongest idea I've ever had in my whole life. Totally opposite. It is next level, biggest impact, bigger than anything. Coolest cars, cool everything, mansion, the whole thing, right? It's not like limited at all. It is everything I've ever wanted and beyond I could ever imagine. So all about it. I'm all about that idea. So I'm big into it. And I credit my whole situation to following this stuff. If I ever got a chance to tell the story of how I got into Mind Valley, it is the most wild shit ever. And it's a total like miracle even being here. So that's the whole thing.
I've got time.
We'll do it for another podcast.
What's the most exciting question you spend time thinking about?
What's the most exciting question I spend my time about? How do I double my high score?
Nice.
How do I get the $1 million a day? Right. My high score right now is $250,000 in a day. So I have to get to $500,000 and then I get to $1 million. Yeah. So how do I make $500,000 in a single day?
So when you're doing that, are you thinking not just like, how do I get to it? Oh, I need to do more spend. Is it also sort of thinking, well, if it's at that, then I need this much inventory. If it's at that, then I need to like change the mindset of the people working for me. If it's at that, then like, are you looking at everything in order to achieve that? Or are you really just going like, how can I spend twice as much at the same time?
I am so happy and grateful now that I'm at $500,000 a day. And I start picturing, what does the fuck look like? I have this campaign working, right? The inventory's there. I just start picturing the life of $500,000 just ran. Everybody's fucking celebrating. Everybody threw their arms up. We're fucking laughing and cheering. And the inventory's there. This is there. That's happening. This is perfect. Everything's perfect, right? You picture it perfectly, exactly how it's going down. And always start with the end in mind. That's the end in mind. The mistake people make is they look at their feet, right? They go, where am I? I am making no money a day. I am doing this a day. They're staring at the ground. You need to stare at where you're going, which is that life where you doubled your high score and exactly what that looked like. Always keep your eye on the prize. So that's what I think. You focus as you already have it. You focus like it's already there. And you feel really good about it. You have to feel good because feeling is faith. If you can't feel, that you're actually there and you're excited, that means subconsciously you don't believe it's going to happen. And that is the root of your why nothing is happening for you, is because deep down you believe it's not happening.
Amazing. What advice would you give your younger self?
Get a fucking mentor.
Sleep yeah,
please, bed. Please stop starting businesses. Please, dude, just don't do another one.
What was your biggest challenge starting in business? How did you overcome it?
No money, right? That was the biggest challenge. No money. You can't get good at me. You can't get good at me buying without practicing. You can get anything without practicing. And you can't get good at advertising without spending money. So how do you overcome it? You got to find someone to give you a credit card. You got to become a media buyer for a dope team who can teach you, and they can, you know, you get part of your profits to them so you can learn. Or you take just a horrible set. It doesn't matter. You whatever it takes. Skills pay the bills. To get that skill set, they have the opportunity where somebody can, yeah, pay for your education.
What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
More people should get their exact macro stack from a nutritionist who has the body that they want, and they should hire a chef to deliver those macros to them, so they never have to worry about what to eat ever again. They never have to go to the grocery store ever again, and they could get whatever they body they could ever imagine simply by just eating exactly what's delivered to you and nothing else. Super easy.
Super easy. And then final question, Peter. It's an important one. What makes you happiest?
I am happiest when I am ripping on a super sick goal, because I live for this shit, right? I live for this shit. Now, it was when I sold my company, I went traveling around for 7 months, got literally a bag of cash dropped on my desk, and all my time. It was the dream. Bag of cash, all your time, no responsibilities, no team, no meetings, no nothing, just freedom, go to Sweden, all the chicks you could ever imagine, all that stuff, right? And then pretty soon I was like, well, I love making fucking VSLs, right? I love making, this is my thing. I can't make any of them anymore. I have a product to sell, I have a business, I got nothing. So it pivoted towards like, I spent 4 years getting good at the skill set I can't even do anymore. So now it's like, what makes me happiest is when I have a sick goals, right? And it's not about the money. It's about being so good I could get the money, right? It's about being such a gangster that I could make that happen easily and consistently, right? What Mike Tyson said, this sick quote, greatness is doing the most difficult thing in the world with the simplest of ease. I just love that say. It's like fucking the hardest thing you can imagine, doing it so effortlessly because you're such a gangster. So that stuff's really cool. And then also selling stuff that is really making a big impact and being on a dope life path. That's it. I choose to go all the way. That's what I choose, and go down the path and not get stuck to like, oh, stuck down. I'm going to get a house. I'm stuck here forever. Or like just a total free bird flying around, traveling around all over the place, but flying on his path all over the place, leveling up the whole thing.
Amazing. That is a phenomenally colorful, descriptive, an empowering answer there to top off an amazing answer round. Peter, this podcast has been exciting. It's definitely one for everybody to listen to multiple times and squeeze and keep writing down the nuggets that you've dropped just so quickly and so generously. At Zippy101 is the Instagram handle that Peter mentioned, and peterkell.com is the website. And dude, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us so generously today. It's been an absolute delight having you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great. This is fun.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all, and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.